podcast is about my book. And my book is called Fully Human, Being Fully Human in the Age of Artificial Intelligence. My name is Alexander Schwedler. And I was asked recently by three people independently from each other to do a podcast about my book and about the actuality or the urgency to talk about artificial intelligence in relation to the human being. And I'm following their request, and I will try to talk about this in simple words, as simple as I can do it, because the issue at hand is complicated in some aspects, and somehow big. And also, to start with, artificial intelligence is something, when you talk about the potential risks of artificial intelligence, people tend to not like these kind of thoughts. So I made the experience in my workshops, in my talks, in my masterclasses, which I did before the COVID pandemic started, which I did in several countries internationally and also in Germany. I tried to point to the potential risks of artificial intelligence, and maybe I tended to be too like drawing a doom scenario, and I noticed that people don't like that. And I understand that. I come from a time where I'm 58 now, so I worked in finance for more than 20 years. And 15 years of that was working with a green, so-called green and sustainable bank. And so I'm very familiar with all sustainability issues, with the climate change issues, and so on. And during my active time at that bank, I remember Al Gore showing us the hockey stick graph with the dangers of climate change in front of us. And even if he was certainly 100% right with his predictions, which we can see now, how the Earth is really suffering from climate change, but still his way of painting doom scenarios did not motivate enough people to change their behavior. And this is probably also the case with artificial intelligence. So there are some warning voices around, and I have quoted them in my book. I'm sure some of you have listened to some of those also. One of the most prominent warning voice is Elon Musk, who appears to be very not knowledgeable about artificial intelligence, because he uses it as much as possible in his car, Tesla. And so he knows what the potential of AI really is. And those who have not seen it yet on YouTube, just look it up if you like, Elon Musk about artificial intelligence or about the risks involved. And he really compares it with nuclear power, nuclear bombs, nuclear energy, where he says, well, if we release nuclear in any way, it is highly, highly, big power to destroy, it is really very dangerous. And he says, in his opinion, artificial intelligence is even more dangerous. And he explains that if we once release a full developed artificial superintelligence into the net, we will not be able to control it and not be able to stop it. And I've used the term artificial superintelligence now, and I need to explain that, because artificial intelligence, as we use it today, is, in my opinion, not yet considered to be dangerous or something like that. That is just very intelligent machine learning and very much under control of the people programming it and also using it. The danger, in my mind, is when artificial intelligence reaches the level of human intelligence. If you consider everything humanity has ever written down, thought about, like science, all books, all magazines, all images, everything we know about all of us and all of our history. When AI is able to read all this and start making sense of it in his limited AI way, let's put it that way, because it's not a human being. But if the machine becomes like so intelligent that it can comprehend or include the intelligence of all humanity, and if you then add in an image now, in an imaginary scenario, which will certainly become true in the future, if you now add to the level of data, the amount of data, if you add speed and then bandwidth, and ever increasing, of course, speed, ever increasing bandwidth. And those two together, if you then think about self-learning programs, so just put these three together: bandwidth unlimited, speed unlimited. I know it's technically not unlimited, but I want to point to, well, it is hugely fast and very big, yeah? So unlimited bandwidth, unlimited speed, and self-learning programs. These three together make by definition a black box, because it's too fast learning and no human being is anymore able to control this. And if this is combined with the level of intelligence of the human race, of all we as humans have ever thought about, and images and so on, and all the information which is available on the internet, in this combination, the experts talk about what is called the intelligence explosion. And that means the computer, the AI, will be able to increase its speed and its bandwidth exponentially. And then you have self-learning programs. And then you have what we call just right now a black box. And this is a combination of things where Elon Musk points to, that he says, if we release such a thing into the public, into the internet, we will not be able to contain it anymore. And which is the key here, we will not know what it will do. And I'm not talking about that AI would have consciousness then, or would have a mind in itself. It certainly will be able to pretend to have feelings, so to act like in a humanized way that people think it will have feelings. But in my mind, a machine will never have feelings, but it can pretend. It can what is the word? It can do as if. So this is a dangerous moment in human history, which is coming, certainly which is coming, which I mentioned earlier. And I have read about many experts talking about it, and they do disagree about the time when this moment will come. There are some like Ray Kurzweil, which is working with Google, who said earlier that it will come in the year 2042, I think I remember. And more recently he said it will come in 2029. And also recently there was a New York Times article which pointed to the ever faster development of AI learnings. So AI becomes more and more sophisticated, and the speed of the advancement of AI is always faster than people predict. It's not the other way around. I have read also articles and books where people argue, well, AI is still very stupid, and don't overestimate its abilities, and it will take many, many years to really imagine that AI becomes very highly intelligent. But I have not read about any expert's opinion that the moment of intelligence explosion, the moment when AI becomes a general artificial intelligence, this is the moment which is defined by, well, okay, it crosses the line of human intelligence, or even becoming on the level of super artificial intelligence. And that is then part of the intelligence explosion. So I have heard about nobody saying this moment will not come, but there's a great disagreement when it will come. Some say it is 200 years. At least, and maybe longer, and others, as quoted right now, Kurzweil, say, well, it will come soon, and 2029 would be 7 years from now. So that is really very soon. Okay, so now I have given you a doom scenario, and you probably don't like it, most of you. And I can understand it. But still, I consider it one of the greatest risks we are facing as humanity. Of course, there's climate change, there is many, many other things which are now putting us at great risk. Also pandemics, imagine a even worse virus than the COVID-19 and a really bad pandemic. So it all brings us into the state of fear, and it's a great calling on ourselves to stay calm, to stay with ourselves, and really to ask the question, who are we as human beings? And now I want to use the second half of this podcast to point to elements of this idea of, and this question of, who are we as human beings? In my mind, and that is the overarching theme of my book, I talked about artificial intelligence and the risks which I just mentioned of artificial superintelligence in the first chapter of the book, but it's only 30 pages of the 150 pages of my small little book. So I decided to make it a short chapter and then focus more on the question about the human being. And when I think about it, and I learn a lot about this idea from Greg Braden. Some of you may know him, others may not have heard his name. It's Greg Braden who has written, for instance, the book The Science of Self-Empowerment. I will quote it also in the text below the podcast so you can find the link. And he's the one of very few people who point to the risks of artificial intelligence or artificial superintelligence, or let's say the machine in general. And then he argues, let's be careful and not give too much of our human skills to the machine too early. That is his main argument, and I was triggered by this argument, and I like it very much. And in my own words, regarding also my book, I would formulate it very similar and say, the potential risks of artificial superintelligence give us a huge calling to ask the question, who are we as human beings? Because if we do not know and understand what we are as human beings, we do not notice that we put in all those inventions and innovations which we put into the machine, we actually put something of ourselves into the machine, and then we create machines which do certain tasks which we did before, and then we notice the machine can do it better, and that's okay for many areas of life. But if we give the machine too many tasks, then our human body and our human organism will say, okay, you don't need my skill anymore, the machine is doing it now, and that is okay for certain areas in our life. But I'm arguing, if we give too much of it too early to the machine, we will lose our human skill set. And if we are not knowledgeable or not aware of our human potential, we will not even tap into that potential and learn more skills which we potentially have, because we give up too early and hand it over to the machine. And I just give a very simple example where I think it's not so bad that this happened. Actually, it's very convenient. Earlier in my life, when I drove a car and when I drove into a city, big city like Paris, for instance, or Rome, and first time there, you had a map. And then I oriented myself on the map, next on the driver, on the co-driver seat, so next to the driver's seat, there was the map, and I had studied it before. And then I looked upwards, where's the sun? So where is south and east and west and north? And then I drove, and probably I drove not directly to the point where I aimed for, but somehow I always found my way. Today, the navigation system of the car is doing everything for me. It's very convenient. Is okay. I don't bother so much about this part of giving up my map reading skill, but it's just an example to explain to you, okay, I don't need to study maps anymore. I don't need to think about directions because the car is doing everything for me. And as mentioned, in this area is fully okay. But this is an example, and you can think of many other examples yourself and think about, okay, what do I give to the machine, which then results in myself not doing it anymore? And do I agree? Is that a free decision of myself that I say, okay, I have the skill, the potential skill of reading a map, and now I'm not using it anymore, so in a few years I will not be able to do it anymore? Of course, in this simple example, you can always relearn it if you would like to, but you get my point. And This brings us back to the question, well, what is the human being? What are we meant to be? What is our potential? What is our purpose in life and on earth? And yeah, in my book, I point to a few things and themes, and I want to just look up the contents and mention a few things. The human being has at its core three skills and three qualities or three areas of activity which are easily to comprehend and easily for each of you. I'm sure you will say, yes, of course, we have those. And the first is thinking, and the second is feeling, and the third is action, doing or willing. And for these three, we have our body to realize those and to do them. So with our head and thinking, our head and brain, we can think. With our heart, we can feel. And with our limbs, we can act and realize our intentions, our willing in the real world. And maybe you notice already the way I'm talking, because I say we use our brain for thinking, and we can feel with our hearts. So first we feel, and then we recognize, okay, our hearts are connected to feeling, and our breath is, and same with willing to realize our intentions. We need the will force, and we use our body and our limbs, hands, to realize what we want to do. So I'm pointing to the fact that in my mind we not only have a body, but we have a soul, what you could call a soul, or however you want to call it. But this field of our inner world, where we have those three, like thinking, feeling, and willing, they are part of our inner world, which you can call soul, and they are also part of our physical bodily world. But if we consider only our body, we are looking too short, because who is doing thinking, feeling, and willing? And that, in my mind, is what can be called the I, because the I is me. This is me. So my name is Alexander. So I am thinking. I have feelings, or I call upon certain feelings actively. I choose to have certain feelings. That is possible. And I have a certain intention to realize my ideas in my life, and that we can call willing. And I am directing my will energy in such a way that my body is following my orders. So my point here is to point you to a human being which is more than just a body. The human being has a soul, let's call it that way for now, and within that soul we have thinking, feeling, and willing. And then we have something which is even, how should I say, even thinner or even more inside of my soul, and that is the I. You could also say this is part of the spirit part of the human being. So then you would say, okay, we as humans, we have a spirit part, and that is the I. which is able to set goals, to have ideas, to make sense of things and use thinking for it and connect it with feeling and enthusiasm and turn it or transform it into action. So I think this is relevant, and if you compare it with the machine, it will be only the physical part. And you could, of course, say, okay, the hardware is like the body, and the software maybe is like the soul or spirit of it. And to be more precise, you could say the hardware is the body, the operating system is what we call the soul, including thinking, feeling, willing. And then you could say the software, which is the interface between humans and the machine, finally is resembling somehow a reduced form of the eye quality. This comparison, of course, is very reduced or reduces the human potential to the machine, but it shows again, as I mentioned earlier, when we built the machine, we set something outside into the tech, into the machine, which we have inside already. And our potential inside is much bigger and potentially huge. And I can only point to this in this short podcast. And is much, much bigger than the machine's potential. And this is the imbalance which I sense in humanity's dealing with artificial intelligence when I talk about it in a general way. And of course, there are individual differences, and I very much know them. And I know also people who are very conscious about this. But in general, we tend to give away our human capacities too easily to the machine. And I think we should consider this and think about this and make a decision whether we really want it or decide for ourselves, huh, if my potential really is so much bigger than I didn't know that I than I did know until now, if we have if I have such a big potential of skills, then I should really sit and consider developing those skills. And in my book, I then point also to the qualities of this middle realm. So in the soul, I talked about thinking, feeling, willing, but thinking we know quite well. We have learned to think during the last 400 years, scientifically, logically. We have all gone to school and studied, most of us. And so thinking is quite a highly developed skill of humanity. Feeling is not yet so much developed. Yeah, to have really access to our feelings and to notice them, to be able to speak about them, to show up vulnerable in team meetings, to really open up. This is a skill we all have to more or less learn yet, I believe. Of course, there are some of us who are already more advanced in this, but most of us, if you think business, if you think typical meetings in organizations, in companies, it is still quite hard to include feelings into decision making and into the talks. But if you look at the human being, the role of the heart is very special. And just to point you to a few things of the heart, science has revealed, and it's not popular science yet, but it is clearly shown in recent studies that the heart is much more than a pump. The heart is a sensing organ. The heart is an organ which reduces the pressure when blood pressure is too high, when the high blood pressure is coming towards the heart in the bloodstream, the heart is there to reduce the pressure. So it's a balancing organ. And we are able to regulate the heartbeat through our breathing. So if we focus our attention in the area of the heart, and if we then breathe a little slower, very relaxed, but just a little slower than normal, and if we then include a positive feeling like appreciation or gratitude or compassion, then we can feel like, ah, this is a pleasant feeling. And our heartbeat becomes more rhythmically, more harmonious. And immediately, this has also been measured and proven by science, the heart-brain cooperation between the two is better functioning, is more optimal. And that means my sensing on seeing and listening ability is better. My decision-making quality will be better. I am seeing reality better as it is. And not, I have not, like when under stress, I have a narrowed view of reality. We all know this. We fall back then into our very basic skills, and we lose our openness if we are under stress. And with this heart quality, when we go into a harmonious cooperation between the heart and the brain, all these skills are functioning better, and we are making better decisions together. We are better listening to each other. We are improving teamwork. And yeah, and that shows something about the human being, that if I ask myself, where am I, or where is it, when is it, or how is the state of being when I am fully present? Yeah, how does it feel when I'm fully in the here and now? Then each of us can check it out, but try it, and then try to feel if I'm fully present and if I am in harmony with my breathing and my heart rhythm. When I feel comfortable in my body, am I then in my head, or am I rather in my middle area of the body, in the heart? And science tells us, and experience also, that if I want to be fully present, I have to go into my heart. Because the heart has this quality of being able to twofold, to be in the here and now and within my body, and to be here with myself. And at the same time, I can listen better, notice better what is happening around me. So I have immediately this skill of being here and there, being within me and being outside with the others at the same time. You can try it out. This may need a little practice, and of course I can give you all the tools to practice that, and some of those tools are also in my book. But yeah, this is something I wanted to point to, and it may show you already, aha, this human being which I just sketched, which has a body and which has a soul, and then which has a spirit. And the spirit is represented through my eye, through my intention of realizing my biography and my life. And the soul is represented in three qualities of thinking, feeling, willing. And then the body is built in such a way that thinking in the brain, feeling in the heart, willing with our limbs, hands, and legs, enables us to realize our intentions. And that already, I hope you get the idea, is much more than the machine ever can be. Of course, the machine can and will be better in everything which we realize physically. The machine will probably be able to do almost everything physically which we do now and probably do it better in the future. But the machine will not be able to resemble thinking, feeling, willing in its true sense. It will not be able to have true feelings. It will not be able to be here and there at the same time, even if the machine is very fast. But these qualities are not comparable anymore. And I hope you get the idea that the human spirit with the eye, there are, and through thinking, feeling, willing, and I could talk a lot about these three qualities and how to expand them, how to get better at them. And I'm sure you will agree that this is highly relevant for business, for team building, for the social encounter, for building relationships, to be really clear what is the human being and to understand the role of these functions of thinking, feeling, willing, to understand the potential of and connection of who I am and to really feel and realize I have an I have an origin where I can develop an idea, think about it, get enthusiastic, and realize it. This is really something which is creation from the very beginning. So I'm a creative entity. I can create things which have not been there before. Just think about the machine and everything else has been created by humans. It has not been there before. So this is our potential, that we are creative, that we are artists in our fields of activity, and that we are able to invent new things and develop things. But this is our potential, and my wish or my opinion is we should stay in control of what we set out, of what we develop. We should, of course, further develop artificial intelligence, but do it consciously, do it knowledgeable, and do it smartly, and don't give the machine so much power that at the end we do not know anymore how to control it, and that at the end we even do not know what it will do with us. And we have given ourselves up to the machine, so we are not so skillful anymore because we have never thought about what kind of skills we have, and we have given it to the machine and we have lost it ourselves. So this is the message I wanted to give you, to take artificial intelligence or artificial super intelligence and the so-called doom scenario, not in a way that it demotivates you or that you say, ah, yeah, okay, there's another catastrophic talk about something which is bad in the future and it will anyway never happen. No, take it as a motivation, and yeah, I would be happy if you agree with me and say, okay, yeah, the human being is something very special, and let's explore it, let's find it out, and maybe what I say can be said in different words. Don't call it soul, and maybe the I, yeah, question it, find out, is it real for you or not? And but I guess you will agree that thinking, feeling, and willing are just very, very basic skills we have and which inherit or which include a huge development potential for the human being connected with the I. So, yeah, I hope I could make the idea clear in this short podcast. And I guess I should do more of those podcasts and explain again and again what I'm trying to say here. Thank you very much for listening, and hope to find or to hope to see you next time by listening. Thank you very much.